Welcome to the Story Weaver podcast. I'm your host, Bron Rauch Mitchell. Come sit with me under the story tree as I weave a tale or two for you. Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Storytime with Bron. Today I'll be reading another three chapters from Swallow Me Now by Melissa Gisbers. Each Monday I will read another three chapters until we have concluded the book. To find out more about the book or to purchase your own copy, please head over to melissagisbers.com. The link will be in the episode description. Chapter 7, End of Term. The week after Free Dress Day, Sam asked her mum to get her a pair of aqua jeans, just like Felicity's. Her reply was, "Maybe for your birthday." Sam still spent recess and lunchtime with Felicity and her friends. Instead of joining in with their songs and discussions about TV, she spent much of her time sitting in the gazebo watching the other kids play. Their games looked a lot more fun than what was happening in the gazebo, but she didn't have the courage to go and join in. Felicity still copied her work whenever she had the chance, and Sam was scared that she would get into trouble if Mrs. Kirov found out, and terrified of what would happen if she told Felicity to do her own work. "I can't wait until the holidays," Felicity announced to the group of girls as they sat around the floor in the classroom during a wet lunchtime a few days before the end of term. "We are going to have so much fun." She went on to remind the girls of the movies and outings that she had been talking about for the last couple of weeks. "And the best part is my birthday party on the last weekend." Sam tried to join in the excitement with the other girls, but somehow she couldn't. She hadn't been invited to Felicity's party. As far as she could tell, she was the only girl in the two grade 5 classes who wasn't invited. She also hadn't been invited to the movies or any of the other activities Felicity had been planning. She knew her parents didn't have a lot of money, and they probably couldn't afford the outings anyway, but she would have liked to have been invited. "Plus, we'll get to hang out and have pizza afterwards." Felicity was still speaking in an excited voice. The party sounded like it was going to be the event of the year. Everything was themed, and Felicity had even told everyone what they should wear. Sam let her mind wander, trying to imagine what Tina was up to and wishing she was there too. Somehow she was sure Tina wasn't sitting listening to the most popular girl in the class talking about activities she wasn't included in. Sam still hadn't said anything to her parents about things that were happening at school or how unhappy she was. Her mum was excited about her new business that was starting to go well, and her dad was enjoying his new job, telling them stories of what was happening in the office. Sam felt like she was the only one in the family who wasn't happy. It would be a relief once school was over for the term and she had 2 weeks at home. Sam was looking forward to losing herself in a book and spending time writing long letters to Tina, telling her all about what was really happening. The bell went, and Sam was glad when Mrs. Kirov came back into the classroom. Today was the day they were handing in their Australian Animals project, and Sam was sure she'd done well, in spite of starting off with no idea what she was doing. Chapter 8. Term 3 begins. Heavy rain greeted Sam as she got ready for the first day of Term 3. She trudged through puddles in the playground to get to her classroom. Mrs. Kirov greeted them all with enthusiasm in her sing-song voice, and much to Sam's relief, assigned them different seats from last term. "Felicity will have to copy off someone else," Sam thought as she took her seat next to Tim, one of the kids she had been watching playing ball games at lunch and recess. "Attention, please, class," Mrs. Kirov clapped her hands. This time, Sam knew what to do and clapped along with the rest of the students. "This term, our unit of inquiry will be our family." "Yay," Sam thought happily. "At last, a project I can actually do." The Australian Animals Unit had been interesting, and she had got a good mark, but it had been really hard. Her happiness about the new unit lasted until the first discussion question. What do your parents do? My mum is a model, Felicity announced. Somehow Sam wasn't at all surprised. Felicity had inherited her mum's good looks. And my dad is a doctor. Hearing some of the other kids talking about what their parents did for a career, especially their mothers, left Sam feeling really jealous. Her mum was a stay-at-home mum, starting her own business, and her dad was an engineer helping people in rural areas of Nepal get access to clean water and toilets. To Sam, it didn't sound as impressive as Felicity's parents or Tim's mum working as a GP and his dad as a professor at the local university, or even Emily's mum working as a teacher at a local high school and her dad working as a lawyer in the city. Sam, what do your parents do? Mrs. Kirov asked when it was her turn. Sam felt her stomach turn over and then she replied without thinking, Dad builds toilets and Mum is going to take over the world. The other students laughed and Sam felt her face go red. Why did I say that? She thought. She knew it wasn't entirely true, but not entirely wrong either. By the time she had the words to explain, they had moved on around the circle. The students finished talking about their parents, and Mrs. Kirov explained a bit more about different areas of the project. One part of the project they all had to do was an oral presentation about their family. But the part that excited Sam most, however, was to create a family tree, going back as far as they could, for at least 3 generations. In the excitement of thinking about her family tree, she forgot about her comment about her mum taking over the world. Little did she know, Felicity hadn't forgotten. Chapter 9. The Evil Genius's Daughter. She is too! Sam jutted out her chin, holding her ground. It was lunchtime, and Felicity had wanted to know more about Sam's mum's plans for taking over the world. That is the reason we moved here. The other girls made no attempt to hide their giggles. Yeah, right, Felicity retorted. No way is your mum an evil genius, she added the quotation marks with her fingers in the air. In an effort to explain herself, Sam had let her imagination run away, telling the girls that her mum was an aspiring evil overlord with plans for world domination. The more she spoke, the wilder the stories became. Sam felt tears collect in her eyes, but she was not going to cry. Felicity and the girls had seemed fascinated, encouraging her and asking questions. It was the first time they had really shown any interest in her since she arrived. Then Felicity declared it was all rubbish, leaving Sam to defend herself. Why do you think I speak with this accent? Sam blurted, showing off her accent that didn't really come from anywhere in particular. It's from the place we came from. But why would an evil genius live here? Jade asked. This is a pretty boring place. Sam thought for a moment. She's taking time out to work on her next plan. She sighed with relief as the bell went, signalling the end of lunchtime. Standing in line, Felicity manoeuvred a place behind Sam and poked her sharply in the ribs. Prove it, Felicity hissed. Prove that your mum is an evil genius with plans to take over the world or else. Sam turned to face her, a confession on the tip of her tongue, but Felicity had already stepped back to talk with Jade and Shari. She looked the picture of innocence, making Sam think that she had just imagined the exchange. Felicity caught her eye and made an unmistakable gesture, telling Sam that it wasn't her imagination. How was she going to prove anything? The thought dominated her mind and she ended up tipping over a tub of paint during art, causing a huge mess. It's not a complete lie, Sam tried to convince herself on the walk home. Mum does have plans for world domination with her business. Even this thought didn't help her. She was still scared about what Felicity would do if she wasn't able to provide any proof. And that concludes today's chapters on Swallow Me Now by Melissa Gisbers. As we still have some time on the clock, I will read one of my own flash fiction stories published in Teapot Tales, Volume 2. The Mermaid's Touch, Part 1, The Healing Touch, by Bron Rauch Mitchell. Mira was perched on her favourite rock, lazily brushing her waist-length hair. She enjoyed the feel of the brush as it gently scraped against her scalp, and the rhythmic motion of the brush strokes was calming, almost hypnotic. The slightly cool night ocean breeze lovingly danced across Mira's mother-of-pearl-like skin, sending delicious chills up her spine. Her full, plump lips curved upwards in a dazzling smile that matched the moon's own brilliance. Mira continued to brush her hair, its burnished copper tones gleaming in the moonlight. The breeze teased her locks, vying for her attention. She laughed out loud and dropped the pearl-encrusted brush into her lap. Shaking her hair, she invited the breeze to play. Mira was enjoying her time of solitude and reflection, away from her responsibilities. She possessed an ability that was unique amongst her kin. With her touch, Mira could heal the sick and injured. Her gift set her apart from the others of her kind, and, at times, Mira found being in the presence of others was just too taxing. She would slip away when she could, and then she would rise to the surface to meditate and bask on the rocks. Mira's ability to heal others came at a personal cost. Too much healing would steal some of Mira's own energy. Her skin would lose its pearly sheen, her tail would lose its shine, and her beautiful golden scales would shed. Then she would require a brief rest period. The more time that she spent healing others, the longer she needed to rest. Mira's scales, when worn close to the skin, could serve to ward off most illnesses and also protected the wearer from minor harm. If she shed them naturally, while fully rested, her scales retained their power. But if they shed while she was in need of rest, they lost some of their power. Mira's scales were highly treasured by her kinfolk, but she was always cautious. Mira picked up the brush once more and resumed lazily brushing her hair. The sea water lapped teasingly at her tail, urging her to come and play once more. Crash! Mira was shocked out of her reverie by a series of thunderous crashes. Checking the skies for signs of a storm, Mira quickly realized that the sound came from the rocks much further down, closer to the shoreline. A large ship had crashed onto the jagged rocks. Slipping gracefully into the water, Mira shivered, not from cold, but from fear. She didn't like to swim too close to shore, but she swam closer to see if there were any survivors. Several people were making their way to the shore. Further away from the wreckage, a lone figure lay prone on the rocks. Mira watched anxiously for a short space of time, but there was no sign that a rescue would be imminent. Mira shook her head, arguing with herself. As a healer, she couldn't turn away from someone that might be in need of her assistance. But merfolk stayed away from the humans wherever possible. Mira didn't even know if her touch would work on a human. Swimming cautiously over to the rocks, Mira turned the figure over and checked to see if there was any signs of life. He, for the human was most definitely male, was barely breathing. Shallow, raspy breaths was all. Blood covered his face from a nasty gash across his cheek, over his ear and across his scalp. Cuts and scratches of various sizes covered his body and he had already lost a lot of heat. Without any further hesitation, Mira dove under the water to find some sea sponges that she could use to wipe the blood off the man's face. She resurfaced and carefully cleansed his face. As she touched him, some of the minor cuts began to slowly close up. She concentrated most of her attention on cleansing the nasty gash. It would take some time, and she was worried about being seen. Mira hadn't healed a human before, so she wasn't sure how long the healing would take. The colour was gradually returning to his face, and his breathing had almost returned to normal. but he was far from fully healed. As his eyes began to slowly flicker open, Mira prepared to slip back into the ocean. Suddenly, his hand snaked around her wrist and he pulled her down, kissing her hungrily. As the kiss deepened, Mira struggled to escape, her energy fading fast. Just when she thought she would pass out, he broke off the kiss and sank back into unconsciousness. Mira dove into the ocean, urgently heading home to rest, secure in the knowledge that the human would more than likely survive and that she would only be a part of a strange, delirious dream. To be continued. The Mermaid's Touch Part 1 and its follow-on story were published in Teapot Tales, Pirates, Mermaids and Monsters of the Sea in 2014. There is a third part of the story that is yet to be completed, and I will keep you advised when there is a conclusion. And that is it for today. Thank you for tuning in, and on Wednesday we'll be back with Poetry with Bron. The Story Weaver podcast intro and outro were created by Paul using licensed music from Stock 20. Paul is also the editor for the show. If you would like to contact me, you can send me an email to thestoryweaverpodcast@gmail.com. Farewell for now, dear friends.